I would like to invite you to take your Bible and open it on Psalm 67. That is the passage that will take place tonight. As we reflect on this psalm, I want you to think about the idea of a river versus a reservoir. A river versus a pond. And we do have a lot of those here in our city. Let's read Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Thanks be to God for his word. I appreciate so much that you had a Bible open up here for me. I was planning on opening my own Bible. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here tonight. If I can be honest with you, when I was asked to preach tonight, I was terrified. And the reason is because English is my second language. It is a challenge. It takes courage to step out here and speak in Spanish. So I appreciate you guys so much. It makes me feel, warm, welcome. But I want to tell you something. The reason I accepted the opportunity to talk in front of you is not because my capacity. But I am a living testimony. I am a living example of mission and the transformation that mission can do in this world. I am originally from Cuba, and almost 7 years ago that I came to this country. It feels like a lot more, but it's been 7 years since the Lord brought me to the United States in a way that I never planned. When I heard that the church was having 2 weeks of emphasis and mission, I immediately started meditating and thinking about the impact that mission has had in my life. So I think that's totally one of the reasons I asserted this opportunity, because the Lord called me to be here tonight and tell you missions are important. Missions are transformative. We need to live a missional life. So when I said that missions is important, it's not only because I met my wife on a mission trip. I take that seriously when I say that. In my life, in my family tree, our family can't recount if we ever had a Christian in our family. We are a communist country where religion was attacked. Religion was not welcome. Christians were persecuted for quite a few years. So in my family, we didn't have someone that passed down any sort of faith, none. So in my life, it all started when two CRC people from Michigan decides to go down to Cuba and preach the gospel and teach the gospel in Cuba. And these two people from Grand Rapids, Michigan, they had a huge heart for Christian education. Well, later I learned that people from the CRC love Christian education. These two missionaries, they were preaching the gospel and teaching in Cuba, and we, in some ways, owe them the blessing that it is to have Christian Reformed churches in Cuba. They were also persecuted, and they also needed to leave the country because of the gospel. I wish I could tell you all my life testimony, but that's not the case tonight. I think the passage that we have in front of us is so rich, so vast, that any of the stories or testimonies that I can tell you will be more important. So when I first arrived in Grand Rapids, I noticed three things immediately. It was really cold, number one. But I also noticed, how much waters do you guys have? And I love fishing. So I felt like, wow, I can really live here. I mean, I also noticed how blessed we are to live in this country, to live in this state. I mean, look at us. Sometimes some of us, we even take our golf carts to go grab the mail. Isn't that like, that is a blessing. So one particular passage that jumped to my mind was Psalm 67. I was thinking about the theme, and I was thinking about this idea that the Lord has blessed us abundantly with the purpose. Not just to retain our blessings and to gather them and be comfortable, but to just start just spreading them around. To all, for the nations, to all these countries, to our communities. Again, think about this illustration, a river versus a pond or a reservoir. A reservoir retains water for itself. A river channels it outward and flows, touching and connecting places, connecting lives. Many Christians treat God's blessings as a reservoir. But God is calling us to be rivers, channeling his blessing to the nation. And Psalm 67 is a psalm with a wonderful missionary emphasis. The psalmist recognizes that the people of God must make known the salvation of God to all people. The psalmist calls for a revival for God's people. And this revival will result in a missionary expansion that will reach all nations. But I also learned something very important in the North American culture. And I learned that pretty quick. Life is very busy. And we need to fight every day to not be consumed by all the options we have to make every day, day by day. If you're not careful, we can make the mistake of thinking that whoever dies with the most toys wins. I learned that from my pastor. Or we can make the mistake of keeping up with the Joneses. I learned that from another person. But the thing, people of God, is many are not realizing that the most important blessing, the most important thing we can hold on to is the blessing of our salvation. Although our culture identifies as Christian, and we have a church in every corner, that doesn't mean our job is done. That doesn't mean we can be comfortable and now just worship every Sunday, because we're taken care of. God blesses his people not for their comfort, but so that his saving power may be known among all nations. But how do we know what's God's purpose, what's God's word, will in our lives? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, because we can open your word and study it. But Lord, when we look to in your word, we get confronted because you're challenging us, Lord. Regardless of how many things we do, regardless of how much we work, your word reminds us that it's not over yet. We're not done. There's so much more work to do. And at the same time, this is exciting because we get to partner with you and work for your kingdom. Lord, open our ears And most importantly, open our hearts to see and comprehend maybe the details that we still don't get. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. What is God's blessing and purpose? On verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 67, when it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. It says, in some Bible translation, it says, Selah. It's like an invitation to reflect, an invitation to ponder on these words. What does it mean, God's grace shining upon us? What does it mean for us that our salvation has to be known among the nations? This expression is inspired by the priestly blessing on Numbers 6. Remember, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Blessings. It's not an end. Blessings are the means for the mission. Let's be clear, and I'm so excited that the pastor's prayer resonate in the same message. Because for some people, missions is as simple as supporting a missionary. Let's write a check. But that's not it. That's not what we're called. That's part of it. That's important. But when we talk about mission, I want you to think of your life as a mission. My life as a mission and the implications that have. All of you have belonged to a cause and to the kingdom of God. So you are a mission field wherever you are. You are a mission field for someone else. Perhaps your mission field is sitting right next to you. I truly believe I am my wife's mission field. Because she doesn't give up on me, because she has patience and she's my partner, holding me anytime I probably stumble. Perhaps our mission fields are at a coffee shop. It's just as simple as that. But picture the idea. Regardless of the place we are, regardless of where we're going, if it is work, we are God's missionaries. We do not need to go overseas to live like God's missionaries. That it's great to go overseas. It's great to teach our young students, to take them on a mission trip, to show how is the rest of the world doing, and to show them how we can bless the world. But that's just not enough. We need to live every day as a missionary of the Lord. The blessing spoken here is not just a material blessing, no. Although we could also include them, but remember, all material blessings are temporary or passing. They can be a way in which God can use to show his grace to others. But the blessing we must emphasize is the salvation and forgiveness of sin from our Lord Jesus Christ, which God has commissioned us to share throughout his word. It's that everlasting blessing. It's the salvation of souls. It's the forgiveness of sins, I repeat, given to us by pure grace and purchased at the price of blood. Brothers and sisters, all the blessings we receive from God during this journey on earth, health, resources, time, ability. Those are to be used as tools for the mission of making salvation known to others. Or is it just for our personal benefit? We could even be making the mistake of guarding the message of the gospel to share it with just the people that we relate to, that we look like alike, or for those who are similar in political opinions or in so many other things. The message of the gospel is for the nations. It's for everybody. The expression, let his face shine upon you, is a metaphor that speaks of God's good pleasure and blessing when we obey him. I imagine this expression like the first sunrise after a really crude winter. When you get outside and there is a little bit of sun in the middle of February or January, and you're like, oh, this feels so good. I can't wait for summer. I can't wait for spring. Picture that image. I'm not going to move too much. Picture that image of God's grace shining in your face. But also, Scripture shows us when God's face hides and the opposite things happen. Hear what the psalmists have to say on Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Without a doubt, God will look upon us with favor. When we have been channels of blessing to others, when we have shared with them the most precious things that we have, the most precious thing God has given us, which is our salvation, the forgiveness of sins through his grace and mercy. In verse 3 and 4, shows us what's God's desire. And God's desires, it's for the nation. When I say nation, I will say nations a lot, but I want you to think about your neighbor. I want you to think about the kids you may teach at school. I just want you to think about your close circle, because the word nations is so big. Let the nations praise you, O God. Let all the nations praise you. Let the nations rejoice and sing for joy. Missions are about worship. Nations rejoicing in the true God. That is what missions is about. John Piper, he refers to missions in this way. Missions exist because worship doesn't exist. Missions exist because worship doesn't exist. Can you spot some places in your life, in your circles, where worship does not exist? We must be true worshipers, especially in those places where it does not exist. These week's events have been very heavy for many of us. I mean, we are hearing about tragedy after tragedy in our country. But that's what happens when worship doesn't exist. And it's ironic because for some people, they will be worshiping and some people will be just doing evil things. And the problem is, there is a vast chasm between those things. When we worship God, he shines his face upon us. When we don't worship God, there is confusion, there is sadness, there is darkness. Evangelization, preaching the gospel, is not just about numbers. It's not about programs or strategies. They are about leading people to a joyful worship of God. We can consider ourselves blessed if you're able to bring worship to somebody who needs it, to somebody who needs to hear about the goodness of our Lord. Verse 4 shows us God's justice extends to all people. For you judge the peoples with equity. This is 4b. For you judge the people with equity and guide the nations on earth. God is not a trivial deity. He rules with justice and guides all people. This passage points to his sovereign reign over history, nation, and culture. Missions include both preaching the gospel and living God's justice, living mercy, equity, and compassion to every creature, without exception of people. We read that in Romans 10, verse 12, 15. It says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses us who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We're called to bring the good news, and we're given so many blessings in our lives. I want to especially highlight Dan Evils. He has helped us with cadets. And he brings his expertise to cadets on craft making, on leadership, and helping us come up with a good cadet program, or at least try to come up with a good cadet program. He has used our times, and I thank you for that, Dan. We appreciate it, and you've helped us a lot. That's just one example. How many other things we could come up with? In what ways have the Lord blessed you that you could be using those gifts to bless other people? I think in my life, after I lived in a communist country and I understood kind of what young people go through when there's not many opportunities, like sports we have here in the States, after school programs and extracurriculum and all kinds of things. Youth get in trouble when they don't have a place to be, when they're not busy. I have the pleasure to serve at Lee Street Church in a community of youth that most of the time those families are dysfunctional. Most of the time there's abusive parents. I'm thankful to the Lord that he has placed me in that place because I can tell the work, it's a lot, and it needs to increase. And there's got to be more people bringing light, the light of the world. His name glorified to those. But we are the people the psalmist is referring to. We are the universal church. We are the Catholic church. Not the church that it isn't close to a nation or to a culture, but the church that it is universal, like the Apostles' Creed. A living and vibrant church will impact and guide its community to God. What the church today needs with more urgency is not more activities, more programs. We do not need a new relevant evangelizing strategy. We don't even need a bigger budget. We need a deep and steady commitment with God that drives us to spread the blessings of salvation that we find in him to all creatures. Tim Keller, he mentions on his booklet titled How to Reach the West Again. He mentions that Michael Green is an American writer that estimates that 80% or more of evangelism in the early church was done not by pastors, not by ministers or evangelists, but by ordinary people like us. Because some ordinary Christians explain themselves to their peers, to their network, to their relatives, to their close associates. And people pay attention to the gospel because someone they care, someone they loved, someone they know or they worked with spoke to them about the gospel. The greatest challenge today is to stimulate significantly sized percentage of Christians to intentionally adopt a missional living in their daily lives and relationships. God blesses us so that his salvation may flow to the nation. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, 10, the Bible pictures this image of, God pictured the image of all nations gathered in joyful worship before the throne. The call to action this night, I want to leave you with a few steps to take. And I know this church is very involved with mission. I know you guys are a missional church. But let's pray, let's continue to pray for the nations, for our neighbors, for our bosses, our employees. Pray for the lost. We should not be terrified about how to share the gospel. What new method do I need to learn to share the gospel? We should be afraid of the souls who haven't heard about it. Support or go on missions, that is great. That is necessary. I am a result of that. But that's not it. Remember to live missionally where you are. Live a missionary life wherever you are, neighborhood, school, or work. The gospel is not the 9-to-5 job we get to live only a certain hours of the day or certain days of the week. The gospel is lived at all times and everywhere. If nothing have been said in Scripture regarding the conversion of the unbeliever, we could think, we might think it will be a work in vain. But when we see how confidently it is declared in Scriptures that we can undertake missionary labors, confident that God will fulfill his word, it is a relief. Don't give up or be discouraged about not seeing the fruits or results you desire. Plant the seed, water, and be patient. Very often, the shade of a big tree is enjoyed by the new generations and not by the person who planted the tree. And to conclude, let's be a river of blessings, not a reservoir. Let God's blessing flow through you for his glory among the nations. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. You are the source of living water. And we are thirsty. Our community is thirsty. Our country is thirsty, and the world is thirsty. We need to drink from the living water that you have. And we need others. We need to be agents of the gospel. Help us, Lord, to preach the gospel, to bless the nations, our neighbors, with the blessings that you've given us. I can tell, Lord, you've given us more than enough. Sometimes if we don't even know where to start, Lord, at least we can start with a prayer. Saying, Jesus, help me. I want to join you in ministry. Give me ears to hear, eyes to see, and give me the courage that requires to preach your name. We hope, Lord, that you will help us to live missionally wherever we are. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.